We're up to the fifth day. First day, only God is here. Second day, only Spirit is here. Third day, God is running a perfect universe. Fourth day, I am the Son of God. I presume we can all agree that these are four truths. And that leads to the fifth truth, without which you cannot make your demonstration as the Son of God. This fifth truth depends upon your acceptance of the first four. And mind you, we've only done the first four in one class. You will do them for 4 days. So that at the end of the 4 days of living with each truth one day, this fifth truth to you will not be as difficult as no doubt it will sound at this very moment. The fifth truth is, I am not man or woman. I am not man or woman. Now there is a great clue to one of the reasons why we have all been living as a part-time Son of God. We're willing to say that God is all, Spirit is all, God is running a perfect universe, and I am the Son of God. But while we're claiming all this, and even willing to claim the qualities of God, that we are joint heir to all the heavenly riches, limitless, timeless, deathless, divine. In the next breath, we go right out and live as males and females. We fall right into the trap of acting as a male or a female born of woman. We accept the flesh. We do not accept the Spirit. We reject God as our Father, all the while thinking that we are accepting the spiritual path. Now, your 4 days of preparation will make it possible for you to accept the fifth day and to declare on that day, I am not man or woman, and I will live that day as neither man nor woman. I will live it as I, Spirit. You can never see me as I am, for I am the Spirit of God. I'm not the physical form you see. I'm not in that physical form. This is the mind concept that people have about you, but it isn't you. And so you're saying to yourself, I'm not the creature that people see who someday will die. I am the Son of God. I am the very substance of God. You see my weight, my size, my shape, my coloring. You are aware of me only in this world of physical concepts. And you judge me according to your material standards. Usually I have permitted you to pull me back into your world of concepts. But today, on this fifth day of my daily rebirth, I will not let the pattern of world thought pass false judgment upon me without standing fast in the knowledge that I am not what the world is seeing. Spirit is not flesh. Spirit is not male or female. Spirit is not white or black. Spirit is not Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. Spirit is not Republican or Democrat. So I, the Son of God, can be none of these things. And I must know this. In the outer world, I may wear human clothes, and I may conform to the world in some degree. But no one can force my inner consciousness to crucify my own self. I obey my Father. I have ceased from being man or woman whose breath is in his nostrils. I cannot share this inner knowledge with the world around me, but today, within myself, in my daily rebirth, I can walk into every room with the knowledge that no one there can see me. Really, no one can see me, for I am the Spirit of God expressing, walking right here in the invisible kingdom of God while the world thinks it sees me in the flesh. I am I, Son of God, eternal as my Father, the image and likeness of God. And as I know this consciously, sacredly within myself, wherever I go today, I am letting my light shine, and this inner light will free me from the trap of world thought and world judgment. That's our fifth day. Oh, I think maybe we could look at something in Joel's book for a moment before we go on with the sixth day. On page 14, Joel says, that's the spiritual journey of Joel S. Goldsmith by Lorraine Sinclair, which I'm sure many of you have enjoyed up to now. At the bottom of page 14, quoting Joel, my life has been told in two Bible passages. My kingdom is not of this world, and I have meat to eat that ye know not of. At no time have I known pleasure or profit or success in this world. There was no interest, and so forth. Now, what does he mean there? When he says he has not known pleasure or profit in this world, we who met him thought he was very happy in this world. We know he was quite a wealthy man in this world. But he says here, at no time have I known pleasure or profit or success in this world. And the answer is he wasn't living in this world. The line above that tells you, his life has been told in two Bible passages, my kingdom is not of this world. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. The physical wealth was but the shadow of the meat to eat that the world knew not of. But the point is that when you want hidden manna, you can't find it because only the hidden man finds hidden manna. You got that in another part of the book. Not in those words that the hidden man finds hidden manna. But listen to this beautiful paragraph. I think it's on page 82, Spiritual Journey of Joel. So at this moment, I wish to make my complete surrender to God, as I have heretofore dedicated myself to the search, the practice, the unfoldment of truth, or God, revealed in the message of the infinite way, as I have let myself be the instrument for this work up to the limit of my understanding, so now I surrender myself, life, mind, soul, and body, to God in full, whether on earth or beyond, whether in the body or out, I surrender and wait and promise obedience and faithfulness at God, as God gives me the capacity, since of my own there is no strength, no power, no character, no will. I surrender this physical sense of life to be ordained here or hereafter in the service of God. I surrender every vestige of self that self may be revealed on earth as God's will directs, maintains, and sustains itself as my life, mind, soul, body, and being. To this end, O God, take me and mine, and be me and mine, as thou wilt. Let there no longer be me and mine, except as thou art me and mine. Take me unto thyself, that Joel may be dissolved, and thy selfhood, the Christ of thy being, be known on earth or beyond. Be thou me. This was the self-surrender he had been practicing most of his adult life, accepting that I am the Son of God, not man or woman. On the sixth day, your theme is, before Abraham was, I am. Now you understand, that is all you take into your contemplation when you arise in the morning. Before Abraham was, I am. And then you contemplate it. And as the thoughts come to you about the meaning of it, you absorb them and you dwell with them, you abide with them, but you are not completed in that contemplation as you go into meditation, the silence, the no thought, until you have the realization of it. If you had gone through the first five exercises, one a day, and had no realization during that contemplative meditation, they would mean nothing. Just to say, I am the Son of God, and then to go out and try to live it, isn't going to work unless you stay in that meditation long enough to get a feeling for it. So something in you is saying, true, true, you are, I am. And that's your own being saying, I am the Son of God. When that comes, that feeling of knowing it is so, then that I will go forth before this physical form. And so now in the sixth day, get into the habit of waiting for the realization. Now, I will do it with you now just to give you an idea of how you must come to an understanding. But don't you take all of the phrases that you're going to hear into your contemplative meditation. Just take, since before Abraham was, I am. That's all you take. Now, let's take it now and see what would happen if you were doing this. Before Abraham was, I am. That means I have always lived. It also means I always will live. It means that I am not the form, that I am life itself. I am life. I am eternal life. And that life is the life of God. I really am that life. And because that life is my life now, that life was always my life, I really am eternal life. Just to sit here and to think about it, to dwell on what it might mean, is overpowering. How can I be eternal life and have gone on thinking I was a mere blob of protoplasm? I am really eternal life. Before Abraham was, I was that eternal life. It was the life of God. It has never stopped being the life of God. I am it. I've been struggling to become something. How can I struggle to become anymore when I know what I am? I must simply be. There's no more room for becoming. I simply have to accept my original self, my real name. I am life. I never actually have left the kingdom of God. I have always been in the kingdom, unconditioned self. Today, now, the sixth day of my daily rebirth, I return in consciousness to my spiritual heritage. I die to the false life, flesh. I surrender this present incarnation. It isn't true. I shake off the dust of many past incarnations. I seek no material riches, no physical health, because I am already perfect spirit, perfect as my Father. I am born of a virgin. I am born of God, of spirit. I ascend out of personal sense of life, out of form, out of condition, out of effect. I am the eternal self. I am the only I. There is no other self. I am the only I who can ever live. I have always been that I. I have always been the I of all who have ever walked this earth. And I am now the I of everyone. Before Abraham, and unto the end of the world, and beyond, I am the eternal Son of God. This day, wherever I go, this will be my living consciousness. I am the eternal Son of God, perfect, complete, knowing all things, for I and the Father are one. Whatever comes up today will be just a shadow of that consciousness, the sixth day of my resurrection. Now, as you do this in your early morning contemplative meditation, it may not come out just as it did this time with me. In fact, we all will have different experiences. But I know from my own experience that about this time you should begin to find a new inner atmosphere. So many things can happen. Forms may begin to appear within you, light forms, maybe blurred forms, maybe clear, concise forms. You begin to see there's another world here, another universe invisibly, and it's only experienced and lived in by the one who is accepting himself to be the self that was existent before Abraham, the self that will exist unto the end of the world and beyond. When you accept it and live it, this inner universe opens up and reveals itself. Expect it. Expect it. It is inevitable. We'll go to the seventh day. We'll call that our day of rest. And the seventh day is, I rest in God's presence. I rest in God's presence. That's your Sabbath. That's your seventh day. But resting in God's presence is not forgetting about God and just going out and playing golf. That isn't the kind of rest we're talking about. Go out and play golf if you want to. But in this contemplative meditation, rest in God's presence. And it's almost the same as what we did before we went into the first day. If you'll think back or turn back later to the other side, you'll see that we went to a place above mind in higher consciousness and rested there. This is the same kind of rest. I rest in God's presence. Now, this is my Sabbath day. I simply wait upon the Lord. I listen like a joyous child to my father. Speak, Father, thy son heareth. In your presence I rest, my soul overflowing. All 6 days that preceded this are joined now in one, the seventh day. I need not make anything happen. I need only rest quietly, confidently, in the knowledge that I am resting above mind, in consciousness, letting the soul plane receive divine grace, resting back, letting the soul plane overflow into that which appears outwardly as this world. Letting consciousness descend into this world as peace, fulfillment, harmony. Letting the divine presence reveal heaven, where the human mind knows only earth. I can hardly wait for you to go through these 7 days. Let's go on to the eighth. We're going to call the eighth day Love Day. That's what the eighth day is. This is Love Day. It's the day in which I invite the power of love to express its glory within me. Today I turn. Today I discover God in every man. Today I love invisible man everywhere. Where every person stands, I see God. Today I do unto others as I would have others do unto me. I love the invisible God who stands where the person seems. I serve that God. I recognize the invisible universal self in all. I express love. I give. I serve. I help, I build my day around giving, loving, serving. There's no me. Me is totally forgotten. Me becomes a nothing. Where I am, only love is, flowing out. My whole being is turned around. I do things specifically. I cut flowers and I give them. I bake cakes and I give them. I make telephone calls and I express friendship. I invite people to dinner. I think of nice things to do for others. I ask the Father within, show me new ways to love. How can I let your love express through me? Show me more ways. Open my heart. Open my soul. Liberate me from the false sense that clings and holds and thinks only of its own wishes, its own needs, its own desires. Make me a servant of divine love. All right? That's your eighth day. Now, on the ninth day, we'll take Joel's phrase, which he said was so important in his life, and we'll turn it around to read. And this is your theme for the day. This world is not my Father's kingdom. You know it's true because the Father has said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so it's not something to argue about. It's something to say, yes, Father, you said it. I realize it's true. This world is not my Father's kingdom. Now you're in your contemplation. Well, wait a minute now. If this isn't my Father's kingdom, what is it and where is it? Is something that is not my Father's kingdom possible? Can it be here? I must be in a mind hypnosis. And I am, as a human being. The activities of this world only exist within the human mind. The world mind and the individual human mind are one and the same. The cosmic mind becomes the local mind. So the cosmic flash is a picture. The local mind acknowledges the picture. It's all simultaneous. There's the flood. It's in the cosmic mind. And there it is. The human mind sees it because cosmic mind and the human mind are one and the same. One is cosmic and one is local, but they're the same mind. The flood is seen simultaneously in the human mind because it's in the cosmic mind. The fire, the earthquake, the tornado, all in the cosmic mind. And God is not in them. God is not in the whirlwind. And the whirlwind is not in God. God is not in the earthquake, the tornado, and the fire. And they are not in God. Every person I see is an image in the cosmic mind, flashing through my local mind. I'm a channel for the cosmic mind pictures called the world. And this world is not my Father's kingdom. Now, wait a minute. I can't accept this world as being here then, can I? Because if it is here, I'm really saying I am not the Son of God. I am not the Spirit of God expressing. The Spirit of God, which I am, must live in the spiritual kingdom of God. How can it live in the images called the world? The Son of God, which I am accepting as my identity, lives in the kingdom of God. And so, the world that is not my Father's kingdom is not happening. The activities in the world are not happening. This is all mind hypnosis. It's not of God. And therefore, it isn't here. I must learn today to let it pass by. I must let the mind illusions die. So now, I will know the truth. And then I will wait until my inner self reaches a quiet agreement with that truth, that this entire world, without exception, has no real existence, no substance, no divine ordination, and therefore this world is not happening. Today, I will walk through a world that is not happening. This is the 10th day, or is it the 9th? The 9th day of my daily resurrection. What a strange and beautiful day it can be. Now this leads you right to the 10th day. And on the 10th day, our active truth, our theme is, only the kingdom of God is here. We're contemplating that now. Only the kingdom of God is here. Where the world seems, only the kingdom of God is. Everything in this world is a mental imitation. And where the imitation appears to be the genuine, the original, the real, the foreverness invisibly is. Where people appear, only the sons of God are. Where physical bodies seem to be, only bodies of light are. You are looking at bodies of light. And through the density of your thought, you are seeing them as bodies of matter. You are standing in the invisible universe of light. You are on holy ground. You are living in God. You have always been safe, unlimited, free. All error has been your unawareness of the perfect invisible kingdom around you. To walk in the kingdom of God now, you must face the fact that there are no human beings in that kingdom. There is no matter in spirit, no atoms in spirit, no time, no space, no people in spirit. How can you continue to live spiritually if you walk in a world which is not the kingdom of God? You must now walk in that kingdom made of invisible light. You must accept its presence, though your senses see it not. You cannot continue to accept people as people. You must learn to accept that they are bodies of invisible light. Make it a point. Walk into a room and know that all that is here are bodies of invisible light. Don't be fooled by faces. Don't be fooled by forms. Don't be fooled by smiles. Don't be fooled by words. Only bodies of light are surrounding you now, and they are called people by people. They are called trees, rivers, animals. But only invisible, spiritual light in perfect divine harmony is around you now. You are always standing on this holy ground. The invisible kingdom of God and your conscious knowledge of this, faithfully followed, continuously lived in spite of what you see, is truly one of the greatest keys to the kingdom. Well, I hope we can finish, but we'll see how we do. We are on the 11th day. The 11th day. Well, we have no people. We have only bodies of light. So on the 11th day, let's take our theme as there are no human qualities in people. It follows, doesn't it? That's your theme. Now, that must be an act of truth. There are no human qualities in people. Let's contemplate that idea. Everyone is God expressing invisibly. That's the truth of being. That's what the virgin birth told us. We are all born of a virgin, and we all think we are born of woman. We've been looking at spirit, and we have been saying, you are a person. And then we go out and we judge that person. We say, you're selfish, you're evil, you're greedy, you're sinful, you're inconsiderate. And to us it all sounds right because we have been living as one of those persons. Now when you start to judge then, that's a signal. It's really saying to you, wait a minute. You're judging human qualities because you're living as a human being. Forgetting all about your daily rebirth. But now, in your daily rebirth, accepting your own divine sonship, you cannot be tempted into human judgments about human beings. You are not a human. So how can you make a human judgment? You are spirit. And so you must train yourself to refrain from human judgments. Deny thyself. Pick up thy cross. Follow Christ's self. Walk now in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the sons of God. Discover God and man. For you there can be no good or bad people, no selfish or unselfish people, no white or black, no Catholic or Jew. You do not pin labels on people because you are the Son of God. You do not even deal with people. You accept God as the invisible selfhood of everyone, in spite of every appearance that comes to your human sense mind. The 11th day of rebirth is when you discover that God in man is the way of Christ in you. And you hold fast to every temptation to draw you into judgment until your soul alone is seeing only the one universal self where all forms seem to be. And then something in you knows, all who live, I am. all who ever lived, I am. Only God's Spirit is here. We're up to our 12th day. On January 7th, 1954, Joel wrote in his diary, according to the book The Spiritual Journey of Joel, the following. You'll find it on page 79, right at the bottom. The miracle of overcoming time and space, the great mechanical and atomic progress of this age, these are but the outer experiences of an inner growth in consciousness. Now you remember in the last seven classes, before this book was out, the first of those seven classes was the atomic myth. And the second was about the illusion of time. And this is the confirmation of Joel's statement, the miracle of overcoming time and space, the great mechanical and atomic progress of this age, these are but the outer experiences of an inner growth in consciousness. Our 12th is going to be that which you have already learned, but which now becomes not just something you learned and tried to remember, but on the 12th day, this is what you practice. The theme for that day is time is not passing. Now hold it a while, just as you would hold it on the tip of your tongue, hold it in the tip of your mind. Time is not passing. There is no time. So life cannot die in time. Life cannot be in time. Life cannot be crucified in time. All death is in time which does not exist. Time has many tricks. Time tries to make us become what we already are. I existed before time was invented. I, the Spirit, I am independent of time. Nothing happens in time. Perfect life is all that is present, veiled by the time illusion. Only divine life is here, and it is not in time. All future time is imaginary. Nothing can ever happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is just a concept in time. Nothing can ever happen in this world of time. I always existed. I always will exist because I am timeless. I am independent of false passing time. There are no human tomorrows to improve. This world is made up of time pictures. But when heaven stops being a myth in the hereafter, when heaven ceases to be where I might go if I am religious or moral. I find heaven. The moment time stops in my mind, I am in heaven. Abide with that thought. When time stops in your mind, you are in heaven. It is in time that you sleep, for time is the grave of humanhood. In time we glorify our second self. The second self, which is born of woman, is glorified in time. But there is no time to change, no time to be born or to die, no time to age. There's no time to succeed, and there's no time to fail. There's no time to be sick or to be healthy. Your entire life is now, not in time. And all that ever happened, which was in time, was but a succession of concepts about that which is now. In time we live mechanically. But before time, before Abraham, I am. Before space, before matter, before atoms, I am. You see that rebirth takes you out of the time self into the eternal self, out of false purposes in time, out of false ambitions in time, out of the unreal horizons in time, out of the boundaries in time, out of the camera impressions, the time pictures, out of false tomorrows and false yesterdays, out of the delayed telecast in time. Time is not passing, and I am not passing in that passing time. I am forever. I am the now self, the eternal self, the timeless self that was never born and will never die. I am the Son of God who knows that time is non-existent. That's your 12th day. Yes, this might be too much for one class. We wouldn't have done these in our weekly classes this way. But this is to hold you for a month. There are several more, too. And the 13th one, we're not going to contemplate, we'll just state it. This will be the first one of the 13 that I'm leaving entirely up to you. No clues. The 13th one, the theme is 2,000 years ago is now. 2,000 years ago is now. The only clues I can give you at the moment are that there is no time, nothing ever happened in time, and all that we see and have seen and have read about is a false time picture about the invisible now. And I want to tell you this about number 13. As you contemplate it, it will take you into a realm of no thought, where your mind is useless. Into that higher consciousness which we had been accepting, trying to find, trying to abide in. You will find you're incapable of thought. And you will discover, take no thought for your life, was but a statement about a level that you actually come to live in, where you're in a permanent state of no thought. And then you're in all of those 2,000 years that are now, and all of the 2,000 years before, and in all of the 2,000 years and years and years that will follow. When you're above the level of actual thought, not because you're trying to be, but because you are, all that comes to you hits the level of no thought. No words, no affirmations, no declarations, no truth to speak or to think. It only hits the Spirit of God. And it dissolves because there's no one there to receive it. The illusion does not take root. And in that level of no thought, there's no you. There's only I being I. And there is peace. My peace. I love the number 13. It's one of my strange superstitions. I'm going to stop at number 13. And that's one for you to explore. Those are the 13 active truths to take into consciousness one per day. Can you see what will happen? There will come a time when you go forth into this world knowing it isn't there, and all 13 truths will be living themselves within you simultaneously. Now, these 13 truths are part of the narrow way. They are truths we have not felt called upon to face in our daily living, and we are learning we must. They are 13 days of daily rebirth. And so starting tomorrow, your 13 days of daily rebirth begin, and when you reach the last day, the 13th, please do it all over again. Take the first 13 days, and on the 14th day begin the first. That'll take you into 26 days. The value of it will be self-evident. Your next tape is going to arrive in approximately another month. Usually, tapes will leave here between the 1st and the 5th of the month. And the assumption is going to be made that when you receive your next tape, you have been through these 26 days of resurrection, and then on the 4 or 5 days after those, before your next tape arrives, you should be seeing that my kingdom is not of this world, and only Spirit is here, are working together as one instead of two separate days. That the 5th day and the 8th day are working together as one. You may find that the day of love was so beautiful that you know you're not going to just leave it as the 8th day in your program. love is going to become a daily program. But until you're making it a specific day, how can you make it every day? And so these will begin to integrate themselves, expressing themselves all in one day. And it will become part of your active daily life, in business, in the home, wherever you go. Again, I invite your letters. I want to know how you're progressing. I want to know what you're feeling, where you're finding difficulty, how I can help you. I've been very grateful for the communications I received in the past from you, and I'll always be grateful for more. Truthfully, I learn a great deal from your experience. And again, when you're near La Jolla, this is the place we want you to come to say hello. You know, those 9 active years of teaching in San Francisco were just a preliminary. And the relationships established there are relationships that I expect to enjoy as long as my feet are touching this ground. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. We want to work with you. For the 14th day will be the result of those 13. And we are reaching for a world rebirth. Each of us, an individual rebirth in spirit, leading to a world rebirth. We need each other. We need each other's love and encouragement, each other's integrity. And so for the moment, again, we assure each of you that you are walking the narrow way that leadeth unto life. Walk it in his name as his son. Walk in the Father's house. Much love from La Jolla. See you soon.